Yes, indeed. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. On a Monday, November 18th, 5:30 p.m., right here on FM 90.1 KZFR. We want to thank you for spending an hour of your evening with us here. Before we get into the show, we want to thank some of the people that help keep the lights on and pay bills around here. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, Jewel Rhodes, and Cardoza LLP, specializing in civil litigation and criminal defense with an emphasis on personal injury and real estate litigation. Serving the community for over 100 years, the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, Jewel Rhodes, and Cardoza LLP is located at 414 Salem Street in downtown Chico. Their phone number, 342-3593. Big weekend in sports. Big week in sports. We got to kind of go back a little bit. There was so much that happened. So with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Talking About Practice starts right now.
We talking about practice. Not a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? Man, we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
You heard Allen Iverson. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I'm your host, Jarrell Gilbert. Alongside me, my man, the myth, the legend. He's bout that. Whoop, whoop.
Nice.
DJ J Bounds, a.k.a. Jordan Booth in the building.
Hey, hey, hey.
We also got my man, Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan in the building.
Hey.
And Bradley Feingold, a.k.a. Statman Brad.
Yeah! Oh, jeez, yeah. Wow. Okay, new mic, and I got too excited. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, guys. That was bad.
This is why I used to compliment you on your mic discipline.
Well, when you keep changing mics when you keep changing mics up on me, I can't do much here, all right?
No, you're just blaming other people? All right.
No, I'm blaming the mic. I'm blaming the system, man. Fight the power.
You're not a system quarterback?
No. Mm.
Out of all of us, Brad is the most game manager quarterback. Guaranteed.
I know. Brad looks like he likes to get outside the pocket, you know?
Scramble a little bit.
Do his thing.
I don't like things closing in on me. I like it now.
I think he's magic. more of a Kirk Cousins.
Oh.
Kirk. Ouch.
I mean, he's doing really well right now.
I'd be okay with that.
He's doing really well right now.
Yeah, okay.
But at any point, you can throw a game-losing interception.
Any point. Especially when it's an important game, like prime time.
Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'll take his non-career stats right now. Just this year.
Okay. I'll take just this year. I thought you meant, like, off-field stats. Moving on. Big weekend in the NFL. Man, there's so many controversies and weird things that happened this past weekend that there's almost more to talk about that isn't game necessarily related or results oriented. We had the brawl, we had the Kaepernick thing. Where do you guys want to start? The brawl? Go all the way back?
Let's do it.
All right.
Take it way back.
The way back to Thursday Night Football. So, Mason Rudolph, the backup, but currently starting for the injured Ben Roethlisberger. Quarterback for the Steelers got into a bit of a scuffle. A slobber knocker.
A squabble.
A kerfuffle.
I like that.
Let's stop there.
We'll move on. With Myles Garrett, in which at one point, led to Myles Garrett swinging. Was it Mason Rudolph's own helmet?
Yeah.
Yep.
After ripping off the helmet,
ends up swinging it at him and gets suspended for at least the rest of the season. When you guys saw this, we've all seen it 100 times now. What was your first, reaction?
I mean, from watching football, playing football, it's an aggressive gladiator sport. And I can see, how rage in that sense can come out. But, man, I've never seen that in my entire life. Just the way the replays, the way Myles Garrett looked, he blacked out. Like, it was like a blank face when he was swinging on Mason Rudolph. Like, to me, it's a little creepy just because I've always had this weird inclination. This guy is listening to classic music all the time. He's just always about himself, by himself. This guy probably has birds at his house. This guy's a killer. This guy is a serial killer.
Oh, man. I mean, looking out.
Allegedly.
Yeah, looking at it at first, it's like, man, like you can't do that. You definitely can't do that. With everything that's on the line, all the cameras, primetime television, you just definitely can't do that. But at the end of the day, when you look at the whole video, you see how Mason Rudolph instigates the entire altercation. Everything that he tries to do to Myles Garrett, Myles Garrett in turn does to him because he's bigger, stronger, probably more aggressive.
Right.
So I'm kind of torn in the fact that definitely Myles Garrett should, and I think he's deserving of whatever suspension is given to him because I know he's still in the appeal process. Mm. But Mason Rudolph should have got some type of discipline for his part in, instigating and putting fire to the, or putting a lighter fluid on the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think rewatching it, it's crazy to see because I feel like Myles Garrett is always kind of caught up in these controversies this year. I mean, this is like his third or fourth one where it's kind of late in the game and just taking the quarterback down. I mean, that was an unnecessary takedown. And then to see Mason, Rudolph pushing his helmet and pushing his face off his body. I get that that's your first reaction, but especially as a quarterback who is probably 100 pounds lighter than this dude, you can't take that route. And Myles Garrett pulled a Andre Johnson and made that dude look like a rag doll.
Yeah, my favorite part about it was just watching all the people in this industry overreact and act like this was the worst thing they've ever seen, or this was like Malice in the Palace. This was not like Malice in the Palace.
Malice in the Palace was awesome, though.
Yes, but that Malice in the Palace was like Armageddon for sports, right? That's something we've never seen, and we probably won't ever see again, at least probably not here in the States. I think maybe a soccer match somewhere may get to that level, but in general, Americans just don't take sports all that serious, so it's very rare that you actually see players punching fans. And so I thought that was a bit of an overreaction. Plus, I believe an Oakland Raider this preseason swung his helmet and hit someone and got suspended for some time, if I remember correctly. So it's not even the first time we've seen that. Also, do you understand that these players are paid to be violent and use their rage and channel that rage? So
right, but channel's the main word,
I think.
100%.
But I just think it's for us to act like, oh my God, this is so shocking that a football player would act violent after the play is stupid. That's not how rage works. We've all seen bar fights, if you've ever been enraged, you are not clearly thinking.
Well, I think this was shocking for a lot of people just because of the situation in the game. I mean,
yeah,
it was
the game
10
was
seconds
over.
Left.
Yeah.
There was no comeback. And I get that this is an in-division rival. But, I mean, these two teams, as far as these assembled squads this year, I don't feel like have that beef, like they did with the Steelers Bengals with Perfect and AB, or those rivalry chip shot kind of plays. So this, I just feel like it came out of nowhere, and that's what shocked a lot of the viewer.
I can't wait to see them replay this and use this as propaganda to hype up the next match, because as shocked and disgusted as everyone wants to act, the NFL is definitely going to capitalize on this. And every time the Browns and Steelers play, because they are division rivals, they play twice a year from now until they shake up the divisions, if that ever happens, they're going to use this every single time. You're like, oh, one of the oldest rivalries in football, one of the most violent rivalries, and they're just going to capitalize on
it. There's a gleam, man. Yeah, I mean, Mason Rudolph could have seriously got injured And I think that's a something
yes.
something that is taken too lightly for people who are for Myles Garrett. And I don't respect or approve of what he did, but I respect his right to do it, especially with the circumstances and everything that Mason Rudolph did to provoke it. But at the same time, you have to put a little bit of effort and thought into the fact that Mason Rudolph could have got seriously injured. He basically got a love tap from a dude, like John said, is, you know, 100 pounds bigger, 5 inches taller or whatever. Mm. That could have been very bad. So I think in lieu of something serious happening or somebody, you know, getting seriously injured, you do have to take a stand in that situation.
And he's appealing right now?
He isn't appealing right now.
Okay, and so they originally came out and said what? He's suspended for the rest of the remainder?
Indefinitely.
Yeah. Just indefinitely until they decide? So,
Basically until they decide or whether or not they want him to come back. So you can keep doing what you're doing. I got you down.
Wow.
That was a little off, but
what do you guys think? Do you think
I think what's going to happen is he's going to be suspended for the rest of the year this year and next year. I think that was wow. I think well the way the NFL's been ruling things, mm-hmm. it's unnecessary right. in a lot of regards. So I think it's just going to end up being whether I believe it to or not. I think maybe half of next year would be reasonable. Just because
I don't know. I do too. I think Myles Garrett is too big of a superstar in this league to sit out 2 years.
So you're saying that a superstar status deserves less of a punishment?
I mean, as crappy as it is to say, you know, money pushes the wall. I think he is. I think he's probably top five in his position.
And we're talking about superstar pass rushers. We're talking about T.J. Watt, the Bosa brothers, J.J. before he got hurt.
Myles Garrett's up there with them.
He's all right. I still think he has a lot to prove, but...
Yeah, I mean,
the rest of the season is fair. Maybe 4 games the next season.
Yeah, I could see that.
And some anger management or something like that.
But the biggest thing to note to here is that he doesn't have a history of negativity on or off the field. Even though this year he is starting to get the label of kind of a dirty player,
almost like an Ndamukong Suh type.
Yeah, this year. You see how that kind of calmed down a little bit, and Ndamukong Suh mm-hmm. is still in the league, not as powerful, not as dominant as he once was, but still in the league. So,
yeah, that's fair. I think it's funny how all this, at the end of the day, the NFL is still going to use this in marketing campaigns. So, you know. Moving on, Lamar Jackson's awesome. I sounded like an idiot when I said that.
Mark Ingram sounded like an idiot when he said it.
Let's get to it.
Now I would just like to introduce y'all to the man, the myth, the legend, the MVP front runner. If anybody else got to say something different about that, then come see me. I'm right here in B-more outside the bank. If you got an issue with that, come see me. I'm about that. Big trust.
Whoa.
Woo, woo. Lamar Jackson in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
One of the best sound bites of all time.
Trust.
I'm with you. New Era 8 apparel.
Oh, man. Yeah, Lamar Jackson's playing pretty well. Front runner for MVP. Gotta be. I mean, him and Russell Wilson, it's just, man, this has been a fun season. And watching, he should be comeback player of the year or most improved, because from what he was last year, I mean, we saw in the playoffs, we saw him go an entire half without completing a pass.
Well, look at what he did in the regular season last year. I wouldn't call him a comeback player of the year because it wasn't that abysmal.
It wasn't terrible, but he wasn't showing us this.
No, well, of course. I mean, this is MVP level. He wasn't showing MVP level. He was showing an average quarterback level.
That's what I'm saying. He went from average, middle of the pack, to an MVP candidate, probably front runner at this point in the season, in one season, in his second year. That's pretty big. And if you are a kid right now and you don't have a team that you are rooting for, this is probably going to be one of those teams that picks up a lot of young fans, just because they're fun, man. They're a fun team to watch. The way they play, their aggressive, hard-hitting style of football on defense, the way they run the ball, the way they throw the ball, it's a fun team to watch, man.
They have a good system just overall. Like,
yeah.
you look at the way they run the play calling as far as using the shotgun formation and pistol formation, different stuff like that. You have Robert Griffin, who is the perfect backup for that team.
Yep.
They have a Heisman formation where they have Lamar Jackson, Robert Griffin, and Mark Ingram all in the backfield at the same time. The receivers play better than you think, and they have great tight end play. And then the defense is again, like I've said, not a common or familiar Ravens defense, but they're good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. They've pressured the quarterback more than any other team this year. And they're just a problem, man. So it's going to be fun, especially in the AFC with all these young quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, obviously Lamar Jackson. This is going to be fun to watch over the, not just this year, but the coming years. So,
do you think they have enough right now assembled to take the AFC?
I do. I think that Bill Belichick, I think it's been overblown how much Bill Belichick struggles with mobile quarterbacks, because let's face it, most defensive coordinators, head coaches struggle with mobile quarterbacks. But I do think there's something to it. And obviously we saw them play earlier, that right, them or Kansas City. It's going to be Pats, Kansas City, and Baltimore, we would imagine, all vying for the AFC. And I think, yeah, I think Baltimore has a complete team and is going to be a problem for anyone they face. So we'll see. The playoffs are going to be fun this year, man.
Wait, what'd you say last week, though? Lamar Jackson was not as elusive as Michael Vick?
Yeah, and then he made two players run into each other just like Mike Vick did, and I was just like, okay, I really have no argument here anymore. I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm done.
I mean, I think the best thing about his play style is the way he plays and the way he looks physically. It makes you feel like he's not going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it might happen eventually, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't, but he the way he plays physically, when he lowers his shoulder, he hurts people. You know what I mean? Like, Michael Vick used to get stung, but like, he actually is laying the hit to people as well as being elusive, and then he protects himself when he has the opportunity to. So
yeah, I love seeing him scramble, Lamar Jackson, that is. You know, you see quarterbacks, even Russell Wilson's, you know, protecting their body and trying to get out of bounds, even if it's losing a yard. There's no loss from the line of scrimmage from Lamar Jackson. He's always going to get across the line of scrimmage. He's going to stiff arm your biggest linebacker in the face and still pick up 2 yards and take the hit. So hopefully his body can hold up, because this is fun football to watch.
It's a lot of fun, yeah. Let's move on. There were other games yesterday.
Woo, woo.
The Niners get a big win at home against the Cardinals.
A big win?
I was about to say, they're celebrating these bad team Ws.
3-6 Cardinals.
But they beat them last time on Thursday night. They were excited. They're better than what people anticipated.
Yeah, and over half their games have been decided by 6 points or less. So it comes down to just a few plays that Kingsbury needs to figure out, and then win most of those games.
I hear you. I'm just saying, at the end of the season, nobody's going to remember how close every game that they lost.
No doubt. Agreed.
I do like that the NFL has changed Sunday Night Football this week to Packers and Niners.
Niners, yeah.
They flexed it? Yeah. What was it before?
I'm not sure.
It was a 10 o'clock game.
That's not.
Or I mean, a 1 o'clock game.
That's
sorry.
Not what he was asking. He's asking what the
who
game,
was the Sunday
who,
night?
Who was
before.
The two teams playing that got? Flexed.
They need to do that with the Warriors schedules.
My God! Whoop whoop!
Right?
If
D-Lo's not playing, it's not even an option. Flex it.
Flex them all.
Yeah, flex these next 2 weeks. Flex everything.
It's rough.
Yeah,
they have like 30-something nationally televised games.
Sierra Canyon, Bronny, and Zaire Wade's school has more ESPN games than most NBA teams. So. ESPN is doing their thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's get into this Kaepernick story. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways to cover this. What I don't want to cover is him kneeling in the flag, because, God, we beat that horse to death. So help me. Are you guys familiar with the story?
Yeah.
All right. Can you guys kind of help me explain it here? Basically, the NFL offices reached out to Kaepernick's representatives last week on Tuesday, said that the NFL wanted to give him a tryout, more or less, or a workout, right? This was based on, I guess, some pressure that Jay-Z was putting on the NFL. To give this guy an opportunity. So he had the workout. He moved locations because he didn't want the media there. Is that correct?
No, he wanted the media there. The NFL did not want the media Atlanta.
That's right.
Facilities, yeah.
That's right. That's what it was. He wanted the media there.
Yes.
And something else with the NFL. The NFL wanted to control the tape and send it out to the individual 32 teams.
Right.
And obviously with Collins' distrust of the NFL, to give them an opportunity to have the master files to edit or do whatever they see fit to send to 32 teams is not an option. So I see that part of it as well.
Yeah, that's I definitely – these are two opposing forces that do not trust each other, right? Cap sued the NFL because he felt he was
– and won.
Yeah, and won. Sued for collusion, and obviously, I mean, it's clear to – just about everyone that he was absolutely being blackballed because, I mean, NFL teams were reaching out to Dan Orlovsky this offseason, right? Like,
Josh McCown coaches his son's varsity football team and actually travels home on Thursdays to coach his son's varsity football team and then comes back on Saturdays to be at the backup for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe that was on the Eagles last year. Jeez. And he's on somebody else's team this year, and I believe he's doing the same thing.
So what was the big controversy? Part of it was that Cap wouldn't meet with the teams individually and interview. Is that what it was? I'm kind of confused on.
Well, I think, you know, on both sides they had, I know the NFL was upset on last minute changes that Kaepernick had. He, you know, which are understandable, bringing your own, you know, receivers to run your routes. I can easily see why he would want, you know, familiarity with those kind of players, but my biggest takeaway from it was just kind of the end of it. You know, his kind of the kind of superficial press conference afterwards, and I feel like Cap really shot himself in the foot. Like, he had a great workout, had great throws, looked super in shape. Like, he hasn't, you know, taken a year off at all, even though he's been out for three seasons, and he kind of just. He kind of just went and called the NFL out, you know, which you can't knock him for. But at the same time, if you're genuinely trying to get a job in the NFL, it's probably not in your best interest to call out your employer, you know, saying stuff like, you know, I've been ready. They've been
stop running,
you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, I don't get his logic if he really truly wants to be back in the NFL.
Because what happens when he gets on a team? Is he going to start calling out the team for not making him a starter when he doesn't deserve to be?
Why would you go to that jump? Because his issue wouldn't be with the team, right?
Well, I know,
right.
But
his issue is with the league. He doesn't have any history of being a disruptor on the team. As far as when he was on the Niners, even players who didn't necessarily agree with the way he was going about his protest still had his back and still supported him because he, by all accounts, seems to be a great teammate. So I don't understand why you would jump to that conclusion.
I just think it, like you said, you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot with a lot of these comments that he's making. I get it, it's about the towards the NFL, but what's going to happen when he actually goes on? Is these protests going to continue?
He's not going to go on because he's not going to get the opportunity. Because no owner. Let's be honest. No owner is going to take that from a player. No one's going to sit back and be like, oh yeah, he's, you know, telling me, you know, I need to get in gear and do all this kind of. You know, it's like, I mean, it's any individual. If most people, if you come at them that way and tell them that they need to do something, a strong, hard headed person is going to have some kickback, you know, or some pushback.
I mean, like I said previously on the show, once you sue an organization and win, and, you know, pretty much you're separated from the organization at that point, the chances of you getting back into that organization and receiving money from that organization after you've already completed and won a lawsuit is highly unlikely. Just because this is the NFL, which is a merit-based business where talent and all these different things matter. And obviously, Cap is talented enough and, you know, has the history and record to do these types of things. It makes sense why he should be in the league. But when you look at the history of the things he's done as far as accepting deals with Nike, the promotion of his cause, and just putting himself on the front of everything that's going on like that, there's no way that an organization is going to take you back after everything that you put them through.
Ed Reed was also on that lawsuit, correct?
Eric Reed,
thank you. So, and he's still in the NFL. So,
but he plays a different position as well. I mean, you have this is the quarterback position.
True,
Eric Reed is a safety, and he barely talks anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the position does matter there. I don't know. This all seemed kind of like a sideshow.
It did. It really.
He's not getting back into the league.
No, I don't think so either. And I think it was a sideshow on both parties. You know, for the NFL to put this on, like, oh, you know, it's kind of to save face, like, oh, you know, look, we're giving him opportunity.
Well, it definitely seemed like a lot of BS because they called him on Tuesday, said, "Can you make it to Atlanta on Saturday? Oh, by the way, you have 2 hours. Oh, by the way, this is a take it or leave it deal. There is no room for negotiation. We can't do this on a Tuesday when teams aren't traveling and it's most NFL's team's day off and scouts and head coaches could actually come see you. We're going to do it on this Saturday and it's a take it or leave it type deal." I thought that was a bunch of BS. I thought I was really disappointed in Jay-Z saying basically that because he took his reputation took a hit joining forces with the NFL that Goodell needed to make this happen so he could regain some of that. I don't know how much the truth is to those rumors, but that I'm not a big fan of that. And then the way Cap handled this, I mean, people do want to know, are you still about this cause? Beyond that, are you going to kneel? I think those are reasonable questions for a team to ask. Whether or not I don't think there's anything reasonable about that whole debate over the protest. I think it's pretty straightforward what he's trying to do. But I do think it would be reasonable for an NFL team to ask him whether or not he continues to plan on doing that just because of the commotion it causes and the outrage it causes from a certain demographic of fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's disheartening. It's disheartening it really to see because you knew once they put the deal out there, even though it sounded like some real, like, hey, I got your daughter, we need $1 million ransom type deal.
Yeah, that's
exactly what it sounded like. But you knew in that moment that if he didn't take that deal, that was his last shot.
Yeah,
and,
agreed.
And the ship may have already sailed before that moment. But yep. That was definitely his last shot to, like, okay, we're going to put these people out here. We're going to do what we can to give you an opportunity. And he would have, I think if he would have done it the way they would have wanted to do it, even though it wasn't ideal, I think he would have a job in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate his rebellious spirit, but I just don't think he's serving himself.
It wasn't the time for it.
Yeah, I think people know, yeah, you're about your cause. You gave up millions of dollars and lost your job in 3 years.
And then settled for an undisclosed amount of money.
Yeah, no doubt. But he did, regardless of how you want to say it, he did.
Because like everybody's super with Cap, and I stand with him too, but he does have some flaws in his game.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I'm not the person to exploit him or to point him out, but anybody who's objectively looking at the story can say that he definitely has some flaws in his game.
I would say you do understand his hostility towards the NFL when he lost 3 years of his prime. Right?
I get that, but how, knowing that at some point, if you really truly want to be back in the NFL, you know, you have to get there first, and then you can, you know, keep going and doing what you want to do with that platform. But to get there, you're going to have to, you know, swallow some pride a little bit, you know, to a certain extent, not losing your credibility or, your protest. But at the same time, like, you can't go on and threaten or, you know, call out the NFL when you're trying to get into the NFL. It's not going
to
work.
Yep. Let's move on to happier things, shall we?
Woo, woo.
Richard Sherman.
I love it, too.
Isn't it great?
We got to use that at Parkside.
That's going to be a 100%.
Great drop. Yeah, we use that 100%. At Parkside for sure.
Which you could come check me and DJ J Pounds out next Saturday.
Shameless plug.
Starting at 9 p.m. right at Parkside Trap House right here in Chico, California.
Sponsored by the Hatchet House.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We do have one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that.
The Hatchet House.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, well, they're sponsoring our event.
Yeah, let's do it this weekend. You know what I'm saying? Go in there, show face. Hey, how you doing? I'm Jay Pounds.
Yeah, you're sponsoring our event.
Thank you so much.
J Row, Jay Pounds, hello.
Can we have maybe some complimentary hatchets?
So Richard Sherman donated $5,000 of his own cash to the Hub City Youth Football Team from Compton. That's
Compton.
Where Richard Sherman's from. They made it to the championship game in Pee Wee football that will be played in Florida next month. Their team was looking to raise some money. Richard Sherman made some noise about this and put a link to their GoFundMe page. They needed, I believe it was $12,000 to go. They raised $7 million on their own. Richard Sherman kicked in $5 million, so they had the money. And currently today, last time I checked, they had $29,000.
Dope.
Wow.
So the team is going to be able to go. Big shout out to Richard Sherman. We talk so much negative stuff. It's nice when these players actually do something cool to kind of highlight that. And just showing, paying some homage and showing love to the kids from the same streets he's from. Richard Sherman is such an interesting person, just in general. I love it. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a different type of cat.
He really is.
Somebody with that level of education, with that level of arrogance and bravado as well, and then just combined with, you know, everything that he is as a person. Yeah, he's a dope dude.
He really is. So let's move on. It is
whoa.
Time to keep pushing here. This is Talking About Practice right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And we are made possible by Chico bankruptcy attorney August Bullock, helping people with Chapter 7 and Chapter 13 bankruptcies since 1988. Do you have more debt than you can handle? For a complimentary consultation, contact August Bullock at 961-3182 or ChicoBankruptcyAttorney.com. So thank you to August Bullock and Chico Bankruptcy Attorney. We appreciate the love. We appreciate the support. Most importantly, thank you, the listener. Once again, this is Talking About Practice. Jarrell Gilbert in the building. Jordan Booth. Sonny Slim, a.k.a. John Lucan. Statman Brad. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. Let's get into Lucan to the Futures. I know you've been on a roll. Has the roll continued, my friend?
Ooh, it's slowed down a little bit, boys.
Slowed down.
We might have found our downward spiral.
Uh-oh.
Hey, it's me. Knock, knock. So, you got my money? You're gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man?
Whoa. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Got it.
All right. So last week, boys, first losing week of the season. It's pretty rough. Went 1-3 and we pushed on one. So 1-3-1. Record's still looking decent, though. 58-20-1. I'll take it.
It's not it. Too bad.
It's not too bad at all. But 1-3 is...
That's bad.
It's not great. It's not great. Did not pick them this well this week. Sorry, guys. but we're going to bounce back. We're going to bounce back. We're going to get better. We got three games that I'm taking this week. I like SMU at Navy. We have SMU +4. We're going to be taking SMU. This team is 9-1. Has not gotten any credit this year. Hasn't even been ranked. Going against a ranked Navy team. I like SMU to win that outright. And then we have Alabama playing at home against Western Carolina University. I don't know why they're playing that.
Cupcake.
In such a late part of the season, but...
Yeah, Western Carolina's pretty good, man.
They're 3-6.
Hey, they play in a tough division.
All right. Well, we're going to take Bama. It's -59. It looked enticing. I almost took it. We're going to take the over-under of 63, though.
Oh, that's perfect.
We're going to take the over.
I like that.
And then we have Michigan coming off a big win against Michigan State. This team is rolling. Never thought I'd say that this year. This team is rolling. Michigan at Indiana. They are a 8-point favorite. We're going to take -8 for Michigan. And now... getting into the bias picks of the week.
New leader.
We do have a overall number one leader.
Ah! Talk to me.
Jordan Booth coming in at 7-3.
Woo!
He's got a big, big game this week, even though he doesn't think it is.
I don't care.
We have number 9, Penn State, at number 2, Ohio State. Yum. Spread is -18 for Ohio State. Oh, over under, 55.5.
Oh, over 55.5.
Over. Sure. All right.
Yeah, if it's in the mid-50s, because I told myself if I was taking...
You did say that.
I told myself if it was, like, at 70, probably not. But if it was in the mid-50s to low-60s, definitely taking the over.
All right, let's hope for a 50-point game there.
And Brad.
Yep.
Coming off a tough loss. Duke getting blown out to Syracuse. Brad is 6-4, mm-hmm. coming in second.
Yep.
We have Duke at Wake Forest. Wake Forest is the favorite. -7, over-under 53.5.
Ooh. Wait, Wake Forest is the favorite?
Yeah, so +7 for Duke.
Okay.
53.5, over-under.
Hmm. I'm going to take Wake Forest on this one.
The spread?
Yeah, the spread.
All right. Got everyone going against their squad.
How does like Duke to cover?
I think Jordan is the only person this year
that has not done a spread.
That has not gone against his own squad. Let that be said.
Because we undefeated.
Well, I mean, that's kind of easy, though.
Yeah, I didn't know 100%. Yeah.
I mean, but still, he took over unders. He never went against, you know. Some of those were pretty big spreads he could have went against.
Yeah.
Derek is not here, but I reached out to him. And he has Michigan at Indiana. We have -8 for Michigan, 52.5. Derek is taking the over.
Mm. All right.
And Derek is in third at 5-5, coming off a win last week. Your boy, yours truly, in fourth, with Cal getting blown out to USC last week. We have Cal at Stanford. What a game.
Why do you keep acting surprised when Cal loses?
I don't know.
Cal's not good.
Yeah, I mean...
They do this every year.
They're in a tough division.
Tough division.
They're
division.
In a tough division.
Tough division.
Tough division. Really tough division.
Tough conference. Indeed.
We have Cal at Stanford. Stanford's the favorite, -3, over-under 42. We're sticking with it. I mean, I can't get off this train now. We're going +3, Cal. And last, and most certainly least, Jarrow coming in last place at 3-7-1. Texas has not been your... actually, you took Iowa last week, and they didn't cover.
Yeah.
They won by 3. You were right on the win. But
How does Tom Herman still have a job? What is happening? We get rid of Charlie Strong. We hire Tom Herman. What a joke. What's his biggest win? Will someone help me out here?
I'll look it up.
Auburn last year.
Okay. Besides that, what has he done?
Not a lot.
He hasn't done anything. All these big promises coming over from the University of Houston. He has been an absolute disaster as head coach for the Texas Longhorns. We deserve better than this, damn it.
Yeah, I agree, as a Longhorn fan.
Oh, God, it's been so
What's interesting rough. To me, though, is Texas is already at 4 losses, and they're still in the top 20.
Did you see our recruiting class this year? This should not be our season.
All right, with that being said, we have a big, big, big 12 matchup. Texas at Baylor, number 19 at number 12. Baylor's the favorite, -5.5, over-under 60.5.
I'll take the over.
Taking the over. All right.
And, I should just... no, you know what? I'm taking Baylor. I'm fading everything.
Okay.
Fading everything.
-5.5?
Yep.
All right.
Forget it.
And what I'm going to start doing here, you know, we always talk about bad beats and, you know, rough losses. But we're going to do a better of the week.
All right.
And so this one's a little late. So one was from last week. Didn't have time to get it out. But the better of the week, I will not say his name because he is a local individual here in town. A gentleman that I work with took a $200 bet on DraftKings. 15,000 entries. And he took first place, winning $20,000.
Wow. Good
off
for
a $200
him.
Bet.
Good for him.
So shout out to someone I won't name because I don't want you to get hit up for money. but yeah, that is Luke into the futures.
I got a question for you, though. After a bad beat like you had this past week, do you bet safe or do you get risky with it?
No, you got to get risky.
Okay.
Double down.
All right, just want to make
Double
sure.
Double down, Feingold.
All right.
Double down.
Okay. Thank you. From Luke into the futures to looking... at recent history here in the North State. He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update. How's it going, everybody? It's time for the North State Update. Chico State basketball has started. And we actually went to a game last Tuesday, watching Holy Names take on Chico State at at Chico State. I was about to say at home, but for me, I was rooting for Holy Names. Got my sister on the team, and she comes out, scores the first bucket of the game, and the last bucket of the game, scoring 7 points, having a couple rebounds. Unfortunately, Holy Names drops the game 71-47 to Chico State.
They got smacked.
They got smacked. Absolutely mollywomped. But Chico State is a good team. They went on to win the CCAA GNAC Challenge, which Holy Names is a part of. Wait, I take that back. They're not part of that. That's an Oregon league. I apologize. Bad information. Anyways, they played against Concordia University out of Oregon, and they beat them 65-61 and took on Western Oregon University and beat them 50-46. It's going to be a good year for Chico State women. Right now they're 4-1 with a 3-game winning streak. Going to the men, they only have 3 games played, and they are 2-1. If we could keep it quiet during my segment, that would be great.
I think Jordan just broke his leg.
Whoa.
Well, let's hope he didn't break his leg. Anyways, Chico State has not broken their leg as they beat Seattle Pacific University 75-53, but lose 91-97 to Azusa Pacific, and also took on Holy Names and beat them 69-54 at home. Their next game is going to be a CCAA matchup against Stanislaus State this Thursday, and Saturday against Cal State East Bay in Chico. Both games for the men is 7:30, and for the women, start time 5:30. So if you want to head on down to Acker Gym, watch Chico State basketball, you can head on over there. Now going to some prep football. Foothill took on Enterprise and beat them 47-26. They will be taking on Chico High in the semifinal round of Division II.
I'm about that.
You about that?
I'm about that.
All right. PV will be heading up to Shasta, taking on the number 2 squad for the Division II of the North State. And if Chico beats Foothill and PV beats Shasta by process of elimination, they will be playing Almond Bowl number 2 for the year.
Trust.
Yes. Big game for Paradise. They beat Live Oak 56-0. Another shutout for them.
Woo woo.
Can I get a Bobcat?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm loving these. But I need a Bobcat every once in a while. So they'll be taking on the number 1 team in the Division 3 bracket, little West Valley Eagles. So, there is that. And finally, my stat of the day with Matt Ryan passing Warren Moon and is now in the top 10 for career passing yards. There are 6 active players in the top 10. Matt Ryan being one of them. Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, and Drew Brees. 6 active players in the top 10 for career passing yards.
Well, the game's just changed so much.
Oh, it really has. I completely agree. So you're just going to see more and more of that. Number 11's Warren Moon, and then number 12 is Frank Tarkleton.
Tarkington?
Tarkington, yes.
Yeah. Fran?
Sorry. Yeah, it's Fran.
Fran Tarkington?
Yeah.
Okay, my eyes apparently are bad. Way to end on a good note, Brad.
So are your stats. I got a good stat for you. Tom Brady hasn't thrown a touchdown in 3 games. Uh-oh.
That's impressive. Also, for the Week 12 game that got changed to the Packers-Niners, it was supposed to be the Seahawks versus the Eagles.
That's a good game.
That's not a bad game, but you also have the number 2.
Well, yeah, you're an Eagles fan.
I mean, the Eagles aren't bad. The Eagles are at least interesting to watch.
Are they, though?
But it's the top 2 teams in the league right now. So
it's great.
Is that your North State update?
They already said that.
Oh.
And then I added on the game. It's all right.
All right, cool.
My eyes are bad. Your ears are bad, too. So
yeah, it's cool. Let's talk some hoop. We get back into college football in a little bit, but let's talk some hoop because it's been a while, and I don't think we've given basketball the proper time it deserves on this show so far this year. So Melo finally finds an NBA home. He arrives in Portland.
Yes.
J-Pounds, I want to go to you on this. When you heard the news, well, no, let me start this way. Do you think that where Melo is currently as a player is enough to make Portland a real contender out of the West?
I mean, they're going to need significant contributions from other players. Zach Collins is somebody that comes to mind. Rodney Hood, Seth Curry. They're going to need significant contributions from those players. But if Melo can come in and show you some of the things he's been able to show you throughout his career, I don't see why they couldn't. I mean, they have Damian Lillard, who is my early pick for MVP this year.
Yeah.
CJ McCollum is a knockdown shooter. Little Nurkic action. So, I mean, you've got pieces, you've got players. Obviously, the smart money is on the Clippers and the Lakers. I wouldn't pick them to come out the West, but they are a contender.
Yeah, I think giving them another guy who could create his own shot on a team that has two guys who can really get their own shot whenever they want definitely makes him a little more dynamic. I wonder what his usage rate is going to be. I imagine he's not going to be playing a whole ton. But we'll see. I think I did like the move, and it's good that Melo definitely is a capable NBA player. I think the only question, and tell me if you guys agree, the only question is he okay being an aging superstar and taking a backseat, you know, a lesser role?
Well, he never really has. You know, that's always kind of been his problem the last few years is with OKC or the Rockets. You know, it's never been... you know, come off the bench type of player.
Well, what was his line when they asked him if he was going to come off the bench? He said, "Hey, P, they want me to come off the bench." Laughing, and then he ended up coming off the bench for OKC towards the end of the season and not playing much in crunch time either. So,
yeah, I mean, we don't really know Melo for his defense in recent years, but I think that's where you're going to get, you know, the kind of the meat and potatoes out of Melo. I mean, you need him. Obviously, he's always going to be able to create his own shot. One of the best shooters the game's ever seen. But I think what Portland really needs out of him is just kind of overall, you know, team play.
Yeah. We'll see. His defense, they're hoping that his defense gets great all of a sudden. I don't think that's foolish.
I mean, I think Portland doesn't have a huge premium on defensive players, especially based off the lineup that they currently have. So
sure.
I think him, you know, missing assignments or not being greatest defensive player isn't going to mean as much as long as he's contributing offensively and being efficient. So, I mean, we'll see, because I believe he's scheduled to make his debut Tuesday.
Yeah, against the Pelicans.
So that should be very interesting. I'm interested to see what kind of type of minutes he gets, what kind of shots he takes, how aggressive he's going to be, because Melo's definitely one of my favorite players. So should be interesting.
Should be interesting. Russell Westbrook called out Patrick Beverley, saying he's not a good defender, which I thought was hilarious, because the only reason Patrick Beverley's in the NBA is because he's an agitator and a good defender.
Literally.
Yeah, and he said that Harden still got 47 on him. He didn't really – I think he shot like 1-for-7 or 1-for-8 when Patrick Beverley was on him, so –
yeah, Patrick Beverley statistically has one of the best one-on-one ratings. He's top 5 in one-on-one ratings against Harden and Westbrook.
Did you guys see Austin Rivers try and get his dad kicked out of the game?
That was awesome.
He was already on his way out. But, he definitely...
Shout out to anyone that calls their parents by their first name.
Yeah, I like that. My boy calls his parents by their first name because he said they don't call me son, so I don't call him mom and dad. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right.
Brad asked us on the rundown, are the Kings the best team with a losing record? Well, I haven't done any research on this, Brad, so why don't you tell me your opinion?
I mean, I would say yes, just because they actually have a good squad that has a lot of potential, and you looked at it last year, and they didn't really change too much. They played against a good Lakers team that's on a roll, and they had a chance other than Harrison Barnes tripping up and getting blocked by Anthony Davis. They came into... came back home and beat Boston on a last second shot on a last second shot.
What was that, Friday night?
Yeah,
that was a big game.
That was a huge game.
That
so coming playing the top two teams in the league and playing them real close and playing them competitively, and they've done that with a lot of the good teams this year. I think they just haven't been able to finish well, and they're finally starting to get to that point. So I think you might see them move up. I don't know if they'll be a playoff team, but I think they're one of the better teams with a losing record and could cause a lot of trouble for the top teams in the West.
Yeah, I don't know. The Kings are like the Falcons to me. You know, they
don't trust them.
Don't trust them.
Can't trust them.
You know, especially in the division that they're in the West, I just think it's too powerful of a division this year. I would be surprised if they make playoffs.
No, it wouldn't shock me if they'd miss it, but I think they're going to be causing a lot of issues for these Western teams and keeping it close, if not getting a few of these games and stealing them from the other teams. So,
all right, so what Brad was saying is that Sacramento is 5-7, and he's saying that they're better than the Thunder, the Grizzlies, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, Pelicans, and Golden State Warriors, who also have equal to 5 or less wins. So I don't know.
I get down with that.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
I think I do agree they're going to give some of these top tier teams problems, but I just don't see them sneaking into the playoffs.
I just think it's a
team to watch.
Yeah,
I feel like they've been a team to watch for the last 3 years.
I just don't think you should, like, a lot of these the media outlets overlooking them. I don't think you should overlook the Kings this year.
Yeah, but they're in Sacramento, and until they have a white chocolate and a Chris Webber and a Vlade Divac and a Peja Stojakovic,
you're not,
no one really cares.
Like, if they would have got Zion, like, they need a marquee star.
They do.
They're the fourth team in California. I mean, they really need, like you said, a Zion Williamson, a Ja Morant, someone like that who's really going to bring excitement about their potential. Because De'Aaron Fox, really nice young player, but I don't think that you're going very far into the playoffs if De'Aaron Fox is your best player.
He's a good number two, number three guy to have here to facilitate. But I agree with you; he's not going to be leading you to a victory in the playoffs.
Who's their guy? Buddy Hield?
Buddy Hield.
That's the dude who got this.
Harrison Barnes.
Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, they've got a lot of support players.
Yeah, they got a solid team. They're just lacking in superstars. They're one superstar away.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how many teams in the league can we say is one superstar?
I would compare them
away,
to, like, maybe last year's Clippers with a little less chemistry.
Sure, that's a good point. Yep. Yeah, I like that comparison. I think that's a comparable comparison.
And they've also been together for a while, too. So, I mean, this could be the year where they take a jump, but until they're consistently in the top, you know, 6-7 teams in the NBA, at least in the Western Conference, I don't think there's too much to talk about.
Yeah, agreed. Luka Doncic is balling. We've hardly talked about him at all on this show, and I think we should mention that he is absolutely balling this year. Y'all saw that clip, I'm sure, when LeBron called him a bad mother bleeper at the end of the game. Dude can really hoop. He is currently averaging 34, almost 35 minutes, 28.5 points per game. With
10.7 rebounds per game and 9.1 assists per game, so almost averaging a triple double.
Yeah, that's insane in 12 games. He is he's hooping.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the whole rest of the top 10. The only person that's anywhere close to that is Giannis. He's got his 30 points per game, and he's got 14 rebounds per game, but only has 6 assists. So you're looking at the best rounded player in the top tier for the NBA right now. I think Luka is consideration for the MVP.
Yeah, I could see him there at the end of the year. Let's kick some games, shall we?
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth. No!
That's right, y'all. Foot in Mouth. The real football for the rest of the world. This is kind of a bittersweet foot in mouth for me. Because Zlatan Ibrahimovic announced that he is leaving the LA Galaxy. He's leaving my backyard in LA, where I am currently. Even though I'm here in Chico doing the show. It's very, very odd how I could do both those things. You know what really grinds my gears? Being in both cities at the same time. Anyway, Zlatan came out in a tweet, in typical Zlatan style, and tweeted, "I came, I saw, I conquered. Thank you, LA Galaxy, for making me feel alive again. To the Galaxy fans, you wanted Zlatan, I gave you Zlatan. You are welcome. The story continues. Now go back to watch baseball." Gonna miss the guy. Never got to see him play live. even though he's one of my favorite players ever, probably my favorite player of all time. Played for PSG, Paris Saint-Germain, for those of you unfamiliar. And it's sad to see him go. And he's leaving. Foot and mouth, y'all. Did you have a question?
Where is he going?
Away from LA. Oh man. Let's jump back into some college football before we get out of here, if you guys don't mind, because this was a big week in college football, and I wish Derek didn't just leave, because he and I were both talking about griping last week about how we didn't think Tua should have played in that LSU-Alabama game. He was limpy. He was clearly limping in that game, and he just came. He got surgery on a high ankle sprain earlier in the season and came back from that. And we were saying the people around Tua need to protect this guy a little bit more and tell him, hey, man, I mean, you got to look out for the – you got to protect yourself and look out for the dollars. I mean, I think there's almost zero chance. I don't want to know. I think his chances of being the number one overall pick have dropped dramatically. I haven't looked at any lines in Vegas or anything on that. But I am going to venture a guess that no one's going to draft at number one. A guy who just had season-ending hip injury surgery. Hips are pretty important for quarterbacks. Now, I can't say that this is causation, right? We can't say because he played last week, he got injured this week. But again, he didn't look right in the game at LSU. And what is a kid doing who stands to lose so much money being forced to – it just doesn't make sense to me. And I just don't understand why he was even out there. They could have won without him this week. It's frustrating to me. Anyone? No?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, the LSU game we didn't really see until maybe the second quarter, him starting to limp. You know, I think then, even when they were down that much, I think you take him out then and don't play him the following week. And then this game, did he hurt himself? They're up 38-7.
Right.
They're up 38-7 in the fourth quarter. Like, I'm so sick of all these college, you know, coaches leaving in all their top players to play the entire game. If you're up that much and you have that much riding on the season, especially coming off a loss to LSU,
right,
you're not going to have the SEC title game. You're going to hope that LSU is, you know, needs a loss now. And
right,
you don't play him. I mean, you... More so that you don't play him, you protect your own player. I mean, how is Nick Saban supposed to go sit on someone's couch and tell a kid's parents that he is out looking out for the best interests of their kid when he does something like that? I mean, this injury is just like the Bo Jackson injury. I mean, this took out Bo Jackson, and look what the athlete he was.
Mm-hmm.
So I just...
You know, I agree.
Especially if you're Alabama. I mean, the backup quarterback for Alabama is a top 300 recruit.
Yeah. I don't. Here's
doesn't
what I
mean. You trust him, though. Doesn't mean you trust him.
I think.
Well, now what do you do? Now you're forced to trust him for the rest of the season.
What's interesting is Nick Saban has taken a bunch of L's consecutively here, right? So the LSU game, just the game in general, was a major L. Then I think everything that came out afterwards with Ed Orgeron, Zane, Roll Tide, what bleep that or bleep you. I thought was great for recruits. They're going to look at that in contrast to Nick Saban's seemingly very rigid style of coaching and say, hey, this guy looks like a lot more fun to play with. Not to mention, this is the biggest game of the year. Last week was for Alabama and LSU, right? As far as the regular season's concerned. So both teams had a lot of recruits there. And I'm sorry, but... What happened? Trump shows up, and I'm just telling you guys, if I have my black friends over for lunch, I'm not going to take them to a Trump rally. That's just probably not how they're going to want to get down. And that game ended up turning into a Trump rally. Trump showed up at the game. Tuscaloosa, obviously, pretty pro-Trump. And you have a bunch of black college recruits or high school recruits sitting there. Man, and then your number one quarterback gets injured. L after L after L after L for Nick Saban. We're not used to seeing this. Tua should have been out of the game. This was dumb.
Well, he was playing in the a cupcake game. Like, he shouldn't have been playing in it at all. So it
it made no sense at all.
I mean, it's unlikely. I mean, it's hindsight is 2020. It's easy to say that, you know, him getting hurt against, what is it, Mississippi State or
Mississippi
something.
Mississippi State, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, which is a good, I mean, it's still an SEC team. They're not great this year, but. That's what I'm saying. But
you don't know what the backup's going to go out there and do. You're still trying to stay in and
but
get
what
into
I'm
big,
saying
the
is
playoffs.
When, so. At the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter, when you're